all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. We have on with us today a good friend of mine named Chad. Chad is the host of The Chad Show. You can find his show on YouTube. That's the YouTube channel, The Chad Show. I'm going to let Chad tell you about his background, and that'll give a little bit of bona fides to our conversation. Obviously, most of you know my background. I had 4 years in the Marine Corps. I did some time as a contractor. I worked at four different prisons, sheriff's department for a little bit as a correctional officer. And then also I worked for Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security for 10 years. So here I am. Look at me. Chad's got a little bit of a similar background. I'll let him explain it. But what we're talking about today, obviously, are the balloons, the Chinese spy balloons. So we're going to give you our tactical weight onto this conversation and tell you about what we know, things that we're tracking, things that we are surmising is going on, and what may this lead to. So, Chad, thanks for coming on, bro. We've been talking about doing this for a while. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
So we had some issues with the audio, but just a heads up for people. Chad worked for the State Department for a number of years. He did a lot of things for armories and a lot of training, especially with heavy weapons and training people and special operations and other venues. And he's also a prior Marine. So whenever Chad speaks, please understand that, you know, he's a lot like me, lots of years of experience, and being inside these agencies, we get to know quite a bit. So without further ado, here you go.
All right. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about the balloons. This is what everybody's talking about. And I wanted to give people, you know, to know who you were so that when people understand, you know, a guy who worked for the Marine Corps, private contracting, worked for State Department, contractor for State Department, and then multiple contracts after that, training law enforcement and military. I mean, you've got some contacts like I do. You've got some weight, some skin in the game like I do. So hopefully whenever we give our best guess to what's going on, and also we have assets that we talk to offline for brevity's sake, and for OPSEC reasons, we're not going to talk about anybody or anything specifically, but we'll just, you know, head nod or let you know. Yeah, we know about something as the topics go on, because there's stuff that is law enforcement sensitive or military sensitive. We're not going to talk about that stuff. So honestly, anyone that does is an idiot, because you can get your ass in a lot of trouble for it. But let's talk about these balloons. So here, let me share the screen. All right, here we are. So with these two balloons, what do we know about them so far?
Well, it's hard to say what we know about them other than the fact that they seem to course correct and end up where you would think they'd really want to see. Some kind of steering, possibly. Has to be. And they have a different array is what jumps out to me. It's not a uniform. These are
Two different platforms.
Yeah, two different platforms. They're not not like we're putting up three, you know, Reapers, and each of them has a different, you know.
Oh, I take it that these are solar panels, obviously, to run whatever mechanisms that they have, possibly for steering.
Yeah.
You see this one to the left, that'd be your military left. This one that has all these different devices on it. Let's try and zoom in. I don't know exactly what that would be, but let's talk about the capabilities of spy balloons. The capability of a spy balloon is pretty basic. I mean, it spies on technology, right? So it can intercept microwave transmission, radio frequency, high frequency, low frequency, any frequency, text messages, satellite phone calls, pictures, emails, anything that turns into data that is transmissible through the air. Or, I mean, what else? Because it can ping off of any towers. And because of Huawei and a bunch of other stuff attached to these towers.
Yep. And appliances. And I mean, anything that's got Wi-Fi on it could possibly get dinged by it. Or Bluetooth. Like, there is no air gap. So, like, that's what kind of has concerned me, is like they're just flying across the heartland.
Soaking up. Like,
are they activating things? Are they?
It's like anytime you're doing something, time wasted is money lost. Like if you're looking at commercial sales, it's like every square foot, if it's not earning you a dollar, then you're wasting money.
Well, this balloon today supposedly went like almost 2,500 miles or so across continental U.S. If all they did was snap some pictures over a couple installations and cover all that ground, it seems like they wasted time. They had to have been gleaning as they went, would be my thought. Like it was one long intelligence operation. It wasn't just moving site to site to site.
It was dragnet.
Yeah.
So
soaking it up.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think this was dragnet. And here's another thing. I talked to a friend of mine, another three-letter agency, actually multiple three-letter agency guys today because they've all called me asking about this. And here's some possibilities. For one thing, do these platforms hold the capability, just yes or no, do these platforms hold the capability for EMP disruption devices? Yes.
Yeah.
This platform will hold it. There is weapon electronic warfare capabilities, I got to be careful saying this, that is not radiological, that can cause an EMP. This type of stuff that we did in Iraq. So we'll leave that as it is. We won't go over it, but there are ways of generating EMP without a nuke. We have the dragnet capabilities. So capturing data. Here's part of the problem when I was talking to some of the guys. And chip in with this. Once it captures the data, just like a frequency on a radio, like if I have this radio turned on and whatever my frequency is, if this balloon catches it, it's now going to hear it. And that means they can track me, which means I have to destroy that freak, or, you know, I have to find a new frequency to broadcast from. So it's compromised. So who knows how many thousands of radios and frequencies, even things that are restricted from the FAA, things that are restricted, you know, from ham radios and all this other stuff, restricted based off of law enforcement sensitive or based off of military sensitive equipment, that it just captured and compromised. And there's a four-letter word starting with a F and with a K, but that screwed us. If that happened, because now you got to replace all that. And we don't have that time. If the next evolution of what's going to happen is an invasion, I purposely think what happened is probing our defenses for one thing. And sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if I do swear, I'm extraordinarily agitated about everything that is going on right now. Cause as veterans, we know better, right, Chad? We know better. Yeah. Like this did not have to happen, but where in the hell was NORAD? You know, how did this
Santa Claus, I guess.
Yeah.
Track these planes.
Yeah. How did NORAD screw up this bad? So can it generate an EMP? Possibly. Is it dragnet surveillance? Absolutely. Is it compromising any of our communications? Absolutely. Can it be used as a mobile radio platform as a repeating station for any assets after an EMP, who then go and get their hardened radios from their Amazon purchased Faraday bags, and now beep, boop, boop. And these Chinese radios, by the way, these Chinese radios can do a lot more than you think they can. A lot of things programmed into this that don't make sense. Me and Bob Griswold talked about that one time. And you activate this, and now you're talking to a blimp. You're talking to a balloon up in the sky that no one else has access to. Your infrastructure can't reach it. The only thing that could have reached it is the Biden said, don't shoot it down with. I mean, Come on, man. Like if any other president, even Obama, would say, shoot that down. You compromise the airspace over the United States with not one, not two, but possibly 3 to 8 balloons so far. We'll talk about that. I mean, would you say that's a declaration of war? I know I just said a bunch, but here, tag out.
Yeah. It reminds me of Independence Day whenever all the motherships appear over all the capital cities and major cities. And it's like, well, what is it? And like everybody's like, well, are they here to kill us or what? And it's like this weird countdown. And it's like that these things just appearing and they start hovering over sensitive sites. It's like, what is going on? And like you said, like grid down situations, something like this, which is, you know, look back at Afghanistan. Like we put up balloons over Afghanistan for this very reason.
Yeah, we did. I had friends of mine.
Which we left a bunch there evidently too.
Yeah. I had friends of mine that were contractors that when I was a contractor, that was actually the good job. Those dudes were making like 300K not to carry a gun, just to babysit a balloon. Man, I was in the wrong job. But yeah, we have these systems all over the place. Continue.
It concerns me because we have the EMP aspect of it. We also have medical devices that are in play that if it gets EMP'd, we just drop a bunch of people. We've already offshored so much kinetic warfighting capability to Ukraine, to where we are in a deficit of a decade trying to get back to that footing.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because you brought up something that you and I were up until like almost 3 a.m. talking about. And I've mentioned this before, but we have moved out so much tactical assets out of this country that we have to now restart a lot of the manufacturing to replace up to 5 years worth of lost ammunition, rockets, the launchers, everything, right? Everything. Man pads, so man portable, surface to air rockets.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that was defensive, everything that was defensive, stuff that could stop anti-tank, stuff that could stop from surface to air.
Even light armor.
Yeah. Everything. We sent it to Ukraine, and Ukraine's not going to send it back. Putin's going to destroy it all. Mm-hmm. He's going to, hey, 30 Abram tanks may not seem like a lot until you don't have 30 Abram tanks that you need now all of a sudden because you just got red dawned.
Yeah.
And you have people like General Jack Keane on Fox News saying, this is a big deal, but it's really not a big deal. I think it is a big deal because I don't trust anyone in the Pentagon anymore. I used to. Yeah. We used to. It used to be trustworthy, but not no more. So
like, how long do you think it took that air crew? And like, I'm not an air winger, so I'm just kind of guessing on the whole process, but just knowing on how hard it is just to draw ammunition for a live fire range in the military and on a military base, like all the things that had to be done, requisitioned and whatnot. Can you imagine what kind of hoops they had to jump through just to put a live rocket on that jet today?
Well, yeah.
They're probably fumbling the paperwork because they're so nervous. Cause like, well, you never do this.
I think like, most people don't know that every jet and helicopter that you see flying above you is not armed.
Yeah. And people and like that. And it's not a judgment. It's just like that. I mean, my own family doesn't understand a lot of this or didn't for the longest time. It's like, we don't have like people waiting for the attack to come at 24/7. We just don't like, that's what happened 9/11. Like we didn't even have a single loaded plane in the sky on 9/11. Like, we aren't on that wartime footing. If anything hits, like there's a, I don't want to say a pregnant pause, but there's a lag time between you can get the ASPs, the ammo supply points opened up and that all the blammo pulled out and gotten to the troops, get the crates cracked, get the mags jammed up, get the rockets, you know, all that stuff done.
24 hours.
Yeah. Before you know, you got a 0330 Reveille or his 0400, you know, whatever. Like, I mean, it just 15 prior to 15 prior, like this stuff that stacks up. We don't have a,
like if you were to do this correctly 2 days ago, it would have been waking up as squad leaders, wake your guys up at 03, meet at the armory, weapons draw. All right.
Yep.
Stand by for briefing from battalion. And then we're going to be standing in our platoons, which is then housed in our companies. And you'll have the 3 to 4 companies standing out there waiting for the battalion commander to come out, the colonel to come out there and say, all right, gents, this is what just happened. This is what we're about to go do. Like training is done. We're on standby. Leave is canceled. You're on standby. I don't give a shit if you got crutches. If you can walk, you're carrying a gun. Everything just went live, right? We were on one of those 24-hour response teams whenever I was stationed in Hawaii. That's what the 3rd Marines were used for, was that's like that side of the world, the Pacific side. We were that 24-hour team. And we got,
you know, we got messed with every now and then where we had to do little games like that. This isn't a game, man. Like, this is beyond precedence. No country has ever invaded our airspace except for during Pearl Harbor.
And they were on a better wartime footing for Pearl Harbor. Like, they were able to man guns on the decks and start shooting back. Like, no, like, that's we not how modern military works. Like,
yep, we don't have that anymore.
I have a dude with a magazine of 30 rounds in a cargo pocket at a remote post, or an MP with loaded, you know, now I guess SIG pistol. But, like, you don't have dudes just... Unless it is a, I'm old now, post one type deal where if you're standing at comm site or at a armory on base, yeah, you're a hot post. But other than that, like, you got a radio.
There's no one
24. Like,
there's no one mounted with like the flat cannons anymore. There's no, like, yeah, you know, we
coastal got defense guns or any of that.
You got SAM sites, obviously. And those are manned by the chair force. And, you know, you probably have a few assets in the air. But when I say a few, not enough to take on China or Russia. And here's the thing, man, is like Russia is about to steamroll Ukraine. And from what I was just told, by the time Russia's done with Ukraine, there may only be like 15 million Ukrainians left in that country. Like Russia. With the winter offensive, and they've already killed over 100,000 of their soldiers. 100,000 gunfighters is more than we have. Like, that's more than we have. We don't have that many gunfighters. Like, we might have a million-man army, but that's Air Guard, National Guard, you know, big army, Marine Corps, Air Force, Navy, Coasties, and that's this huge hodgepodge, and your actual combative arms guys makes up like less than 3% of that entire thing. And then less than 1% of all the combative arms is actually infantry. So no, we're not prepared for anything bad to happen in this country. And anyone who comes on Fox News and says, oh yeah, we're ready, is a freaking liar. Yep. And the thing is, dude, is like, we've been poking the bear with Ukraine. And we see the response. And now China is poking us, and we went timid. We capitulated immediately. I don't care, honestly, if this thing fell on somebody's cattle out in Montana. We should have shot that thing down immediately.
Yeah. And like, if somebody is familiar with, and I know you are, one second after, if somebody is familiar with the Bracken series of books, right? They have a frame of reference like, all right, balkanization of the states and all these different actors on the Chinese checkers board are taking advantage of that gap in power, that vacuum. Like, everybody likes to recite the whole, you know, rifle behind every blade of grass. Well, they have now ensured that there's not going to be a javelin, a Smaw, a Carl Gustav, a Toe behind every other blade of grass. And what that means is that those cartel Sicarios in their beefed up stolen Ford trucks with Dishkas and Modusas and whatever else, they can roll right through, and we are stuck with small arms and what? Felling trees in their path to slow them down so we can throw Molotovs at them?
Yeah, how well did that work for the Iraqis and Afghanis against us?
I really want to know, like, we know the numbers that have been sent, the ones that we know are bad, sent to Ukraine. And my concern is, just thinking really deviously about it, is, well, those had to come from somewhere. And if I was really pushing or concerned about a reprisal or any kind of civil war, probably a good idea to disarm your opposition. And my concern is that red states, Guard ASPs, were the ones that were probably eviscerated first. If I was the one doing that, I would make sure that I would definitely take the weapons from those that are inclined to secede and shoot back or whatever. And there might not be no founding in it. I'm just looking at it, worst possible outcomes. That, dude, we got razor thin force. Like the one, just the 155 howitzer rounds that were given to them, they gave them so many of them. It's comparative to the numbers of 777 systems that they sent, it is like multiple barrel replacements on those guns worth of ammo. like ridiculous amounts of ammo. And why? The only plausible explanation that is still ridiculous is that they're offshoring the material needed to defend. Like, they're just offshoring it. Just get it out of here. Just get it out of here. We don't want it here. It seems like that way with everything, you know, and it's all under the guilt trip of we got to help them. They're in the same predicament that we can easily find ourselves in because of it. And that's invading force. They don't have the means to protect themselves. And within that Hegelian dialectic and the inversion that they like to play against us, there we go. They've just done it to us. It's an inversion of reality right there in our faces.
So what do you think about these balloons? Probing? Do you think they really are?
Probing. It's a huge flex. Huge flex.
Well, China wanted to come out and say that this was private. It was scientific based. But we know that they're guided because they went against the jet airstream, right?
Yeah. And they were maneuvering two key installations. They say it's private. There's nothing private. If you're a corporation in China, like half your board has to be CCP members.
Yeah, it's all military. You
know, it's all state-owned. So they say that. It's like, yeah, okay. That's like saying, well, Lockheed's a private corporation. No, they're not. They're public, but they are military-industrial complex. You know, like, I don't want to go into that. But them saying it, like, they're going to say what they're going to say. I think that they have confirmed they've trued the map to Earth by using these high-altitude balloons. They've been able to get a lot more granularity on what they're looking at. They've gotten direct signals that aren't being relayed through intranet or bouncing off of commercial satellites to try to siphon it. And so whatever they could be gleaning, I think, is less likely to be intercepted. I think there might be some kind of value there to them for that, because, I mean, they're spending a lot of political capital to do this, and they're doing a lot, actual real capital to
come a little closer
on and build it. Sorry, they've expended a whole lot of political capital pulling this off, and a lot of physical capital, as in the systems, the people in place to assemble them, launch them from wherever they're doing it from, in multiple places, because they're popping up in multiple places almost at the same time. They're getting a lot of return on this investment, more so than just a psyop. They could just do a balloon and float it across and mess with everybody. There's so many ways it could scare the populace. This is like way overboard if all they're trying to do is get a rise out of people. They're getting real information out of this, and with that comes real leverage against us.
So here's a thought, is that, let me say this carefully. If this is up in the sky, something was moving on the ground. Something was moving on the ground. I don't know what. I don't know who, and I don't know where, but if everybody turned their cameras to the sky, something is happening below, because this is the way that these people fight wars. You know, this is the ability to use misdirection. Yep. Even though this has actual real world capabilities, there was a misdirection. Something was moved. We dealt with this with the cartel all the time. You would get, you know, 100 people to flood this part of the border, and then we'd catch them.
And they're pushing the mules across.
Yeah, there'll be an 18 wheeler that'll show up filled with weed, like you could smell it from Mexico. And we're all over here taking pictures and selfies, you know, holding up, you know, our kilos of weed and high fiving each other. And that's when like 5 trucks filled with fentanyl goes right by.
And people, and
yeah. it's a sacrificial thing that they do.
Yeah.
And
like they're paying the tax.
Right. So whatever happened here, whatever information was gleaned, whatever information they captured, whatever information devices, communication devices, they had, compromised, something else happened. And this won't be it. This isn't the it. You know, this isn't the end of this. Once we start really pushing on Taiwan, what could we see next? I've been saying it, and I've been saying it. I've been freaking saying it. Los Angeles just recently lost power. Austin, Texas has been without power for 3 days. And I'll show the video. People are actually literally going through the dumpsters to get food. We've had this massive attack on the power grid within the past 3 months. Everything is being ramped up for a reason. And if you can take this as a warning, as a prophetic gesture from God, maybe, they are attacking the power grid They're probing our defenses. They proved to NORAD that they can get through our system, through our windscreen. They got right through it. All right, what happened to Project Star Wars, huh? And yeah. Satellites didn't do shit for us, did it? So whatever just happened is a huge compromise. And anyone that comes out and says, it's nothing, they're lying to you. And that's what the government does. The government lies to the public. We've all done it.
They're pushing that Overton window.
Yeah.
Like, just discussing this alone, like, would we have believed this if we went back and told ourselves, hey, you know, there's going to come a point where the CCP's going to be flying airships across the coast and everybody's just going to be watching, wondering what's happening.
Bullshit. We'd knock it out of the sky.
Yeah. Apparently not. They'd fly my plane up, shooting at it with machine guns and doing whatever they could to knock it down. Like, this is, like, so implausible. Like you said, it's diverting our eyes up, right? And, like, that's why yesterday I was like, and others, we were all like, just like, I know people all over were looking, all right, what else is happening? Even the most baseline with zero experience just after the past 2 years, they're like, all right, this is a false flag or this is the attention gator. What else is happening elsewhere? Look elsewhere, which is good that people have come to that realization. You have what's going on at the border, southern border. You have what's going on with ports of entry. You have what's going on with protectorate islands. You have what's going on, I mean, just all over the place. So, like, we got a missile frigate or whatever off the East Coast with hypersonic missiles. You got a spy ship off of Hawaii. Okay. Well, if you're like watching ADS and stuff, what are we seeing? And yesterday, like, I see the pictures of the screenshots off my phone of right off of San Diego. You had multiple tankers up pulling crazy patterns off of San Diego. Crazy planes. Patterns.
Planes, yeah.
Planes, yeah, sorry. But the KC 46s and whatnot. I think there's a P-8 in the mix too. But then we had a P-8 leave from here in Dallas, Slough Field yesterday. It went straight south over the Gulf, didn't come back. And then there's stuff going off the East Coast too.
A lot
and
of
it's air just traffic. Like a lot. So people are watching.
But let's talk about the balloons again. So let me pull up. And, you know, here's the thing is, like, I don't know how accurate this information is, but I'm going to give it to you what we know to be accurate thus far. All right. Now, things could change. Things could be the same thing. Some of these instances could just be the same vessel that's being seen over multiple states, but who knows? But Chinese spy balloons, they have had two over Montana. One was destroyed from many, many different videos. So it's safe to say that because it was on Fox News. And whatever was destroyed, wherever it lands, it's going to be collected by tactical assets. Let's just leave it at that. We have one over Mexico that's headed our way, Latin America. One headed to Fort Bragg that's special operations. All right, let's name this real quick. Montana, Maelstrom Air Force Base. For so many of you people that do your own podcast and you don't know how to pronounce this word, it's not Maelstrom. It's Maelstrom, for God's sakes. Maelstrom Air Force Base. ICBMs. I almost wouldn't work there. ICBMs are there. Okay, so intercontinental ballistic missiles and other things. So, of course, they're there most likely doing deep scans. I think they're doing deep scans, and the capability is here, if they can ping to Wi-Fi. Don't forget, guys, where's this stupid device made? It's made in China. China flies their balloons to find their shit, and it's down six, you know, stories deep, and it starts pinging. Guess what you got? Possibly a blueprint of whatever you're sitting in.
Off.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you're sitting in a skiff, and you just so happen to have, you know, this damn thing on you, you don't have to be in the skiff, but now I know exactly where it's at.
You
know, I
mean, a whole box of them.
The capability is incredible with what these machines can do. All right, so over the nuclear bases, one was over Arizona. Well, I wonder what's in Arizona. You have the biggest nuclear plant that we have in America, Three Rivers, and then starting to travel east, once you hit that corridor of New Mexico and Nevada, what are you going to come across? Area 51, White Sands, Groom Lake. You know, there's some other things that are out there. This is all experimental weaponry grounds. So if they're scanning as they go by and they're pinging any of your stupid smartwatches, remember the year it came out when guys were wearing smartwatches?
Yeah.
And the tracker showed up on Area 51, this one dude, every day like champs running like 3 miles. Hey, you know, gung-ho, say goodbye. But you just straight up skylined Area 51.
Geofenced a place that doesn't exist.
Yeah, you are going to go and have what we call a visit now from other people. That's what this thing can do. This thing will start pinging every object that it can get its connection to. And it just builds this map. It builds a gigantic tactical map as it's sweeping across America. And most likely, I'm telling you, this is then connected to a satellite. So it's getting all the information, processing, sending it to a satellite, which then sends it to China, and then it's lost. We've lost it. We can't do nothing with it. Compromise. Word of the day. All right. So Fort Bragg, we had one that was over Fort Bragg. Special.
Yeah, I think,
man. Yep. You know, that's and also in Florida, JSOC, sitcom. I mean, why there, right? And then today, also over Hawaii, and there's a balloon that was over Guam. That might be the same balloon, but if it was the same balloon or if it's not, who cares? Guam, what's in Guam?
Oh,
submarine base. That's our big time
and,
submarine base.
Is that 3MF? What was it? They moved Okinawa to there, right?
Yeah, 3MF did. And then you have Hawaii. Well, that's where you got all the fleets for Pearl Harbor. 3rd Marines, you know, hello, 3rd Marines. That's my old unit out there in Kaneohe Bay. And in Kauai, you also have another dock for submarines. So a lot of tactical information. You have a huge intelligence center there, and you have a lot of tactical information that you can sweep over and capture, and you can map and whatever else, you know, whatever else that they're doing. Okay, today, FAA issues 2 NOTAMs over North Carolina, South Carolina airspace due to national defense. Now, what I got earlier was that there was a balloon spotted over Missouri, and then it was South Carolina. Do you think that could have been the same balloon just traveling
fast? I think so. I think so, because that's right along that common track. And it's obviously there. They could steer this thing anyways. And it just boop, 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 boop. I don't know why. Because imagine that altitude, they have pretty good area coverage. Why would you put 2 different balloons in that same location? You know, I think those are the same. And what's crazy is, like, it's so hard to even keep track. Like, you can look up and see the sky, right, supposedly. But, like, these have different arrays. Like, that's what's kind of weird to me, is because if it's a different array, it's doing something different. And so not knowing where this balloon was at kind of makes it hard to guess, you know.
Well, and supposedly,
obviously they have the solar channels.
Supposedly there was 2 balloons in Montana. One went north into Canada, and then one went eastward. And that might be the one that's been making its way across the nation. It's being spotted in so many different states and mistaken for multiple balloons. But supposedly, once again, supposedly, this is the information that we are being fed. Iraq had a balloon. Europe has had a balloon. Latin America has had a balloon. So everywhere it seems that we have some sort of a tactical asset or military base of some kind, there has been a surveillance spy balloon over it. Do not sit here, Pentagon, Joe Biden, and tell me not to freak out, not to worry. They are monitoring everything. They are literally doing what we talk about all the time. They are scanning. They are doing a route reconnaissance, reconnoitering. They are doing a dry run. And if we're not going to do anything with these balloons, and they launch a whole nother set of balloons, and then these, whatever the hell this is the next balloon that actually has the EMP, the low yield EMP. Bro, I've been saying it's coming. That here's is the last
else.
Draw.
Here's something else, though, that I just thought of when you're saying that. And I'm trying to tread lightly, but if they're pinging and getting that little handshake between their balloon and your device, and they're seeing a cluster of devices at a location that they know is sensitive, but now they have attached a device to that work location. Now they can work to track that device and, you know, like you say, compromise, like all the trouble people go through to try to like maintain PERSEC and personal security. And now did their phone catch a ping and give a handshake, a nod, a wink, and now they can be targeted for exploitation.
The FBI came out last year and said that there was over 90 different towers across America that had Huawei devices on it that they knew was compromising law enforcement and military intelligence, signals intelligence. It was spying. And I don't know if jack shit was done about it, but who installed that? Who allowed that? I wonder. So this has been going on. Now, China moves in evolutions and phases. Okay, China isn't like America trying to play whack-a-mole with terrorists. China is moving in phases, and they would only be doing this if they knew our economy is about to take the biggest shit it's ever done. And it is. Pardon my French, I don't mean to use so much profanity. People, you don't realize, like, like, you better take your guns out tomorrow and get to practicing.
Yeah.
Like you better go, like, tonight. I'm so freaked out, I'm gonna go run 5 miles tonight.
Ooh, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm gonna lose my mind here.
I am. I'm gonna go run 5 miles tonight, and I'm gonna force myself to do this every day until fat Doug becomes skinny Doug again.
Oh no.
Dude, in my personal beliefs, I think we are so close to that red dawn.
Yeah. Like, it's not when funny I'm
anymore.
What I've been seeing, and like, you remember the new version of the Alamo movie that they did here? There's a whole scene where Davey comes out to see what the racket is, and it's whenever Santa Ana brought out the trumpets and they started playing that weird song. He's like, "What is that?" And the guy tells him, "Aguayo," and they tell the story that, you know, means the cutthroat and stuff. Well, that song is also what's played at the bullfights. If you know anything about the bullfights, they take the big beast, the apex bull, and they hobble. They cut across its neck so it can't throw its head hard. I mean, they handicap it, and they taunt it, and they send it out. They get all worked up, and they send it out into this arena to fight this dainty little dude in tights, you know, with a cape and a sword. And he does his little dance to distract and confuse the bull and just plays off his anger while he exsanguinates. He bleeds out. To the point he's so weak from all the distraction and all the bleeding out and the hemorrhaging blood loss that he just kind of lays down. And then with that final thrust, he walks up and just kills him with a little fencing foil. And that's what they're doing to us. They're distracting us. They're keeping us upset. They're misdirecting us as we bleed out until we're too weak to resist, until we lay down and curl up, and then it puts us down with just something that never should have been a threat to us in the first place. And that's what it feels like. We're being exsanguinated, being bled out slowly. And it's like a process. It's like if you hit your well too hard and you pull it dry, you can actually kill the capillary action and actually kill your well. And then you have to go through the process of repriming it. It's a mess and it might not work. But you never want to take your well down to a certain point because it might not come back because you break off that capillary action. You pump it dry. And that's what they're kind of managing here, is that they're hitting us so hard, but they're letting it refill. And they're hitting us hard again and letting it refill. They're extracting every drop of wealth out of this country as many times over as they can before they boom. Because the second the lights go out, they lose control. Their control method is this. And once we lose this, they lose this. And they know that it's going to be the long night of long rifles or something. That sounds so overboard and dark. But They know that that's going to be the end result once that switch gets thrown. So they're trying to maximize everything.
It'll be immediate chaos. Immediate chaos. America will never be the same the moment the lights go out nationally, if we ever come back.
Hey, man, I've got to go get girls up from their nap.
Yep. Let's cut it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is just a quick intel breakup. We're trying to figure out what all is going on, trying to keep you guys up to date. Chad, thanks for coming on. If we got anything
else. Thanks for having me, dude.
If we got anything else pressing, we'll come back here and do this again. Ladies and gentlemen, stay frosty. The enemy's out there. See you next time.
Sorry, I'm always joking. Thanks again, man.
Well, here I am. I'm back with more information. So apparently there's more going on with the balloons and less that you're being told.
Now it is up on the Daily Mail that a third Chinese spy balloon is operating near U.S. interest, but officials won't say where after shooting down first balloon off of South Carolina coast. An anonymous source said a third balloon is likely operating near the U.S., but did not reveal its location. The first balloon discovered in the U.S. was shot down today at 2:30 p.m. by a F-22 Raptor out of Langley Air Force Base with a single AIM-9X Sidewinder missile. Another balloon was discovered in Latin America. Anonymous source told the Washington Post that a third balloon is likely operating near the U.S. after the first balloon was discovered hovering over Montana on Thursday, and another was found above Latin America. We don't even know how many are out there right now. This is so damn infuriating. A source told the Post that the discovery of the balloons was an embarrassment to the Chinese, who are freaked out by the incident. Yeah, right. Freaked out. They're in a tough place. That's a quote that the source told this outlet. And they have very few cards out to play right now. China had said that the first balloon was collecting weather data when it was blown off course. However, on Saturday, two officials told the Washington Post that the balloons were part of a Chinese military surveillance program that relies on technology that helps supply the People's Liberation Army. Officials don't know exactly what the balloons do, just that they have some sophisticated communications gear. That is an outright lie. They know what these balloons do. They know their capabilities, and they know what they're doing. The first balloon spotted in Montana was hovering over a United States military base that houses nuclear missile silos. Officials had worked to make sure that the balloon wouldn't be able to get information from the site, but did not elaborate on how. Bullshit. It got the information. It got it. Even though they quote saying, "We took very early action to make sure those sites don't show anything that anybody would find interesting." Absolute horseshit. If there was an electronic device that had any type of cellular activity, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, made in China, iPhones, tablets, they captured the information, compromised it. Just like our president, compromised. Joe Biden praised the Top Gun fighter jet pilot who shot down the Chinese spy balloon off the coast of South Carolina today after he vowed to take care of it. This man should have taken care of this over the Aleutian Islands before it ever came into America. This is treason. The fact that he allowed this to happen, not knowing what was there, just saying that we're just going to openly trust the Chinese, that they didn't have anything that could have been detrimental to America. They put your life at risk. Remember that. Next, Project Fugo, the Japanese balloon bombs. This is coming from warfarehistorynetwork.com, wrote by Alan T. Duffin. On Saturday, May 5th, 1945, 3 days before the end of World War II in Europe, and just 3 months before the Japanese surrendered, spinning shards of metal ripped into the tall pine trees, burying holes into bark and tearing needles from branches outside the tiny log cabin community of Bly, Oregon. The nerve-shattering echo of an exploding bomb rolled across the mountain landscape. When it was over, a lone figure, Archie Mitchell, a young, bespectacled clergyman, stood over six dead bodies strewn across the scorched earth. One of the victims was Elise Mitchell, the minister's pregnant wife. The rest were children barely into their teens. Mitchell, pastor of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, had invited students from his Sunday school classes to a picnic at Gerhardt Mountain in the Fremont National Forest. Everyone piled into Mitchell's automobile and rode to the secluded area, where Mitchell dropped off his wife and other picnickers as he parked the car. Suddenly, Elise called out to him. She and the children had found something on the ground. "Don't touch that," shouted Mitchell. He was too late. A sudden explosion rent the air. Hurrying over, a horrified Mitchell stood over the mangled body of his dead wife. Hot shrapnel was still burning on her body. Four of the children, Jay Gifford, Eddie Engine, Dick Patsky, and Sherman Shoemaker, lay dead alongside of her. Joe Patsky, 13 years old, initially survived the explosion but succumbed to her injuries shortly after. Forestry workers were running a grader nearby when the force of the explosion blew one of the equipment. Another dashed to the nearby telephone office where Cora Koner was running the town's two-line exchange that day. He had made me place a call to the naval base in nearby Lakeview, the closest military installation to our town. He told them that there had been an explosion and people had been killed. Within 45 minutes, a government vehicle roared to a stop in front of the telephone shack, and military intelligence officers scrambled out of the car and joined Connor inside. He warned me not to say anything, Connor says. I was not to accept any phone calls except military ones, nor was I allowed to send out any information. The rest of the day proved difficult as Connor struggled with lumber companies and angry locals who had been stripped of their phone privileges without explanations. Angry citizens congregated outside the telephone office, banging on the windows and doors. A frightened Connor handled it as best as she could. Ironically, the 16-year-old Connor had narrowly missed becoming another victim of the mishap. What was all this? Back on the mountain, Army intelligence officers joined the local sheriff at the accident site. The bodies of the victims were grouped within a 10-foot radius of the explosion, which had churned up the forest floor. At the center of the impact zone, lying on a snow pile 6 inches deep, were the rusting remains of a bomb, a huge paper balloon deflated and pockmarked with mildew laying nearby. The Japanese high command had launched balloon bombs against the United States for a period of 6 months, from November 1944 through the spring of 1945. In an ironic twist, the Japanese had canceled the program several weeks prior to the incident in Bligh, citing that the program's apparent ineffectiveness. A 5-month media blackout ordered by the United States government helped disguise the fact that several hundred Japanese balloon bombs had reached the West Coast, and woodsmen in Spokane, Washington, stumbled across two fallen bombs on the ground and, according to reports, fiddled with the devices which failed to detonate. Elsewhere, a farmer noticed one of the balloons drifting in the sky above, then watched it as it plummeted to the ground and wedged itself against a barbed wire fence. He was able to secure the device for investigators by the FBI and military authorities. Week after week, the public reported more and more sightings of the mysterious airborne devices. Balloons fell into rivers, tumbled onto forest roads, and interrupted electric service whenever they dropped onto power lines. Military pilots engaged balloons in midair and shot them down. This has happened before, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone surprised that the balloons were so effective and that they're being used again?
Even today, unrecovered balloon bombs are thought to dot the North American landscape. The bombs are slowly disintegrating with time, but are still potentially lethal. To date, approximately 300 of the aged weapons have been found. As late as 1992, a balloon bomb was recovered in Jackson County, Oregon, about 100 miles west of Bligh. Nearby, the Klamath County Museum keeps the history of the incident alive for current and future generations. Todd Keppel, manager of the museum, notes, "It is safe to say that we'll always feature an exhibit on Japan's balloon bomb campaign, including its general failure to inflict widespread damage that was intended, and the heartache it caused in one tiny northwest community. Many current residents of southern Oregon are scarcely aware of the history of Japanese balloon bombs, but a handful of local residents are determined to make sure the story is never forgotten." And finally, we have this from the American Leadership and Policy Foundation, Blue Paper 1-1, Novel High Altitude Delivery Platforms for Weapons of Mass Destruction, Weapons of Mass Effect. I like how underneath it says the views expressed herein are the authors alone and do not reflect official positions of the Department of Defense or United States government. But that's exactly who it was wrote for. Can a state, a pseudo-state, or non-state actor deliver weapons of mass destruction or weapons of mass effect to strategically impact America's infrastructure absent employment of intercontinental ballistic missiles, submarine-launched ballistic missiles, or other conventional means?
The answer is yes. Thus, the feasibility of using novel delivery platforms to achieve offensive capabilities against the United States should be examined and understood by the emergency management and national security communities. Over the past 40 years, the strategic reduction community, the strategic threat reduction community has been occupied with confronting challenges presented by conventional Cold War platforms such as ICBMs, cruise missiles, SLBMs, or other bomb-based delivery or weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass effect. While legacy and derivative systems such as Russia's Oceanic Multipurpose Status 6 system, nuclear torpedo continue to present strategic threats to the United States, their proliferation has proven somewhat predictable over time. However, the rise of global terrorism has created a new dimension of risk to the United States in particular, one that presents itself in a chaotic, innovative, and ill-defined manner. Consequently, planners should begin addressing novel strategic threats by understanding what can be done rather than what has been done. Such an approach is critically important to protecting America's society and critical infrastructure. In the following days, because this is headline news now, I will give a re-update to people who do not know, people maybe who's new to this show, of this operation of Blue Paper 1-1 Starfish Prime, and we'll go back over some of the highlighted points of the Nuclear EMP Commission, a podcast that I did many, many, many podcasts ago, but I'll bring it back up because I think it's pertinent, because everyone is worried that these balloons could have carried EMP weapons, and based off of Blue Paper 1-1, which you can look up yourself, or the Weapons of Mass Destruction EMP Commission guys, they all say it. There are other ways to take down the grid and to shake up a nation. But I want to highlight the worst case scenario before we go. The worst case scenario is if a nuclear warhead were detonated at a height of 200 miles above the United States, according to the National Technical Information System, the National Technical Information Service, for an explosion of high yield at sufficient altitude, the area covered by the high-frequency EMP, electromagnetic pulse, extends in all directions on the ground as far as line of sight. Above the center of the United States, almost the whole country, as well as parts of Canada and Mexico, could be affected by the electromagnetic pulse. The EMP would devastate most of the critical infrastructure located within the deposition of the area. Line of sight, that means horizon to horizon. So, from the West Coast to the East Coast, Canada and Mexico. That's how close we just were to seeing this coming to fruition. That's all I got, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you next time. Stay frosty. Train, prep, and pray. Take care. Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5, mountain-state-survival.com.
This show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store. It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindicta show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindicta show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Rekker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.